Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The Microsoft IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
It's another Friday, Scott. And it's hot.
We made it to another one.
In Florida. Imagine that.
I turned the humidity on, so it's turned up to step outside and take a shower.
Sweet. That means I don't have to take a shower at night, right? Because I just go outside to take my shower?
No, that means you need to take like 6 showers at night to wash all the grime off from the rest of a Florida day.
Or you just go jump in the pool.
Yeah, there is that too.
I've tried to convince my wife that the pool is the equivalent of a shower.
You put enough chlorine in there, it'll kill anything.
That's what I say. Hasn't worked yet.
Excellent. What are we talking about today?
Anyways, we are talking about, we are going to talk about Intune and MDM. We're going to kind of tie into a previous episode we did. I was going to refer to it as the last episode, but to be perfectly honest, we have some things coming up with Ignite, some interviews, and we're not exactly sure what order these recordings are going to get released. So we will just call it a previous episode where we talked about Azure AD and Hybrid Azure AD Join. And that came from a listener question from Steve, and he kind of mentioned Intune and MDM in there too. So we figured, why not jump into that one as well?
Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Steve Peschke, and I'm one of the founders at Office365Mon.com. I worked at Microsoft for over 18 years, and one of the most common questions I got is, how do I know what's going on with the health of my Office 365 tenant? When there's a problem with your tenant, you need to know what's going on before your users. We help you understand not only when your tenant goes down, but how well it's performing. When you do have a problem, where do you start looking? Is it your network? Is it your tenant? Is it some feature inside of Office 365? Our network analysis features can pinpoint performance issues and help you figure out where those bottlenecks are. Sign up for a free 90-day trial today at office365mon.com. Stay in the know and stay in control with office365mon.com.
All right. So, what is Intune?
Is it something
you use to tune your piano, or what is this?
Intune?
Out of tune?
Well, yes. Microsoft Intune. So it is what would it classify as? It's an EMM tool, so Enterprise Mobility Management, 100% cloud-based, and it is kind of Microsoft's foray into mobile device management, any kind of application management, and in general, mobility or on-the-go management for users within an organization. So it could be kind of any client they're coming from. It might be a operating system like a Windows client, or it could be a Mac, or it could be an actual mobile device. So it's got all sorts of things going on there, right? So we want to be able to manage mobile devices for users within an organization. Maybe we want to protect the device and the data. Maybe we want to just protect the data. We want to manage apps that your organization uses that may be things that you want to push down to users. Maybe you want to push certain configurations, like, for instance, on an iOS device, maybe you want to push a VPN certificate as part of a mobile device profile. Same thing for Android, right? Let's make sure our users are connected to our networks when they pull their data. Control kind of access and sharing. So we've talked about Azure AD and conditional access and things like that. And those kind of fall into enterprise mobility and some of those more kind of security-focused features within the SKUs that exist there. And then we need some kind of device registry for all these clients that are coming in. So there's a little bit of an MDR built in as well as we do the mobile device management, and we can make sure that devices meet our compliance needs. All pretty straightforward.
Exactly. And it did start. This was one of those products too that started as an on-prem product, and they kind of moved it to the cloud, and it was, for a long time, honestly, my opinion, it was terrible. I tried to work with it. The interface was in Silverlight for a really, really long time. Me being on a Mac, it meant that my options for...
It has come leaps and bounds.
Yes, my options for management were slowly dwindling because browsers kept pulling support for Silverlight and Microsoft wasn't rolling out any new updates of Silverlight, but yet Intune was still in Silverlight. Good news is it is all in Azure now. Silverlight, I think that's the last Silverlight site I actually used.
Yeah, sometimes you still run into it in corporate environments, right? And some of the weird like SQL reporting and stuff like that. But
yeah, I haven't run into any of those in a while.
Yeah, it has certainly grown up a whole bunch. I think it's a little bit of a confusing service now because we have Intune and then we have things like EMS or EM plus S, Enterprise Mobility plus Security. And then we have all the various SKUs that come into play with Azure AD. And really when we're talking about Intune or MDM, sometimes we're talking about one, sometimes we're talking about two, sometimes we're talking about three or four of these things at once.
Yeah, all, like you said, all kind of based on what features you want, even like the conditional access and SharePoint. So there's that aspect of SharePoint where based on your licensing, you can do conditional access to SharePoint through like the OneDrive admin portal, through some of the SharePoint admin portal stuff. And really all it's doing is it just is going out and actually creating some of these conditional access policies in Intune. One of those goofy services, the licensing and what you get with all the different EMS licensing and E5 and all of that does tend to vary. There is a service description for Intune out there that we'll link to in the show notes. So you can go see all the different service descriptions. Again, just be aware as we talk through this today, this is not something that is natively in most of the E3 or E5. Most of the Intune stuff all requires either that EMS license or you can get parts of it by going to like an Azure AD Premium. I think it's conditional access, maybe an Azure AD Premium. You don't necessarily need EMS for that. We're not going to try to talk through all the licensing today. We're going to give you kind of an overview of the description, but just again, be aware that for all of what we talk about, you really need to pay attention to what licenses give you what features. All right, so diving into, there's kind of three areas, three categories. I kind of bundle it in. The first one is more of that device management. It's aimed more at those corporate-owned devices where you are going to manage the whole device. You're going to have a whole bunch of control over what employees can do, what they can't do, what's enabled, what's disabled on that device. That one, again, it's going to be devices that you as a company own and are allowing your employees to use. The other one is more that mobile application management that's built into Intune where it's more that BYOD scenario where employees are bringing their own personal devices in, they're accessing your corporate data from their personal devices, and you want to have some control over which applications they're using to access the data, how they're accessing the data, where that data can travel, be copied, pasted, all of that on those personal devices that they're using. Because again, you still care about the security of your own data. And then you have the whole conditional access part of it, where, when, what devices people can access your environment from. So I kind of want to break into and out into those three categories. And we'll spend a little bit of time, again, just talking about each one of those, what's included in each one, how you get started with all of that, and where you go with those three different areas and how you can leverage those to your advantage.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of kind of taking a step back and making sure that you're making the right decisions, not just for your organization, but also for your users. So quite often, folks are heavy-handed and they say, well, maybe I need to register your device. And I can't tell you the number of organizations I've worked for where they do things like full on, you know, let's go ahead and have you bind your device to this organization. And then it's the weekend and you're out with your kids and you're at the grocery store trying to pay with your phone or something like that. And somebody wipes your mailbox and resets your phone because they hit the wrong thing. It's like, well, did you really need to have access to my personal device or did you just have to manage my email? Because those are two very different things and being able to weigh those all out. So why don't we get going with device management for corporate-owned devices or kind of managing workforce fleet-owned stuff?
This is really going to be where you own devices. Like you had said, I've gone into companies before and they're like, we want to do mobile device management. We want to control everything. And I'm like, okay, so you realize some of your employees might actually rebel against that, especially if they're bringing your own devices. And like you said, you're making them do that full-on device enrollment. So the mobile device management, device enrollment is where you literally go in and you make them enroll their device into your company. So there's settings in Intune for Apple enrollment, for Android enrollment, for Windows enrollment. All of those require slightly different processes. Like for Apple, you have to go make sure you get the right certificates actually directly from Apple for it. Android, again, Windows, they all have slightly different nuances to them and how you get those devices enrolled. And then once you actually enroll those devices, this is where you can go in and set all of those device settings and what you're going to manage on the device. And this, it really does. It gives you full control over it. You can get down to that level where you're saying, you know what, on your device, we are going to disable your camera completely, or we are going to completely disable your access to the App Store to be able to go install apps, add various apps to your phone. We're going to block you from being able to do backups. Like you said, Scott, you can actually remotely lock the device, remotely wipe the device. There are a plethora of settings in here. When you really get into those different profiles and what you're going to allow or disallow on any given device.
Yeah, no. And it's a little bit more than, even some of the mobile device stuff, because really we're talking device management across all sorts of clients. So you mentioned Windows and Mac OS. So, you know, you can do things with Windows 10 where you can throw it into kiosk mode when it's a managed device. I mentioned things like VPN profiles. There's Windows Hello things like, identity protection that you can mandate that are rolled down to devices. One of the big things that I think everyone needs to do is you really need to have a solid understanding of the devices in your organization and what that fleet looks like and what you're potentially going to be able to support. So if you're brand new to this and you're rolling it out and you're coming over from, maybe you're doing a bunch of like Samsung tablets and you're doing Knox today, or you're doing AirWatch or BombGuard or something else. Intune's a little bit different because it's got this, you know, zero trust network thing with identity, and then it's got the MDR and MDM and MAM, but it's kind of there, but not, and you have to know about it. And all these devices can be a little bit different. So you might be able to manage things on an Android device that you're never going to be able to manage on an iOS device, because Apple doesn't have those hooks, or they haven't developed an SDK to let organizations like Microsoft develop software that can go ahead and do those types of things. So you've got some decisions to make there about what that looks like. And maybe what ends up happening is you go at it from a couple of different angles. Maybe you say, you know, our official devices are, let's say we roll out Android and they're all, I don't know, they're all Pixel XL 3s, and that's all we do. So you might actually end up going in on the identity side with something like conditional access and just blocking all those other devices that don't meet that. And that's kind of how you run it, to make sure that you're where you need to be and what's going on there.
Yep, exactly. And there's a lot of settings. Like you said, you really need to go figure out what you need to do. Do you really need this? And then what settings do you have across those different platforms that you need? And who even gets different policies? So these policies aren't even a one size fits all, or you deploy one policy to everybody. You can pick and choose if certain people can get excluded, or if there's varying policies across different people. One thing you can do too is, like you said, this creates an enrollment process. So you also don't maybe necessarily want people to enroll their own devices or be able to enroll any devices. So you can go out and limit too who can actually enroll devices, what some of those restrictions are around enrollment. And if you go back to a previous episode too, we talked about even that, I'm completely blanking on the name right now, but where devices get auto-enrolled, all of that is managed in Intune as well through those different device identifiers. If you're in Apple's program where all of those devices you buy are automatically linked to your organization, you can get those enrolled and use those different corporate device identifiers as well when you get into that whole enrollment process for those corporate-owned devices.
Yeah, there's quite a bit there. And I think, you know, it's not something you necessarily step into lightly. Like I said, take a minute, step back, plan it out, and figure out what you need there. For better or worse, you're actually going to really need to dial into your requirements around a service as well. So it's not going to do everything that other vendors do, and other vendors aren't going to do everything Microsoft does. So I've worked with some organizations where they've said, you know, we're going to go with, you know, again, say AirWatch. well, we already have Intune and we're already licensed for it. Maybe you're paying for EMS licenses or something on the side. Is AirWatch really 100% of your requirements, or is 80% the new 100% and we can get you over to this service that you're already paying for? So it can be a little bit tricky sometimes to figure that out, because you do have to hop across all the SKUs and see what's going on. But like you mentioned, once you make that decision and you say, let's go there, definitely balance it out. Target users and groups, target devices. Make sure you have things like default device profiles. You might think, hey, today I'm not going to manage Macs, but you might want to plan for that, because somebody in your organization is probably buying them and doing something with them, and you maybe just don't know it yet.
Yep. And one other aspect of that too, I know, because you had mentioned AirWatch, some of the other ones, Intune does have that whole concept too with the mobile device management of its own app store, trusted apps, where you can install the company, I think it's still called the company portal app, on your mobile device, and then go install those trusted approved applications from there. So if you are going that mobile device management, you want to block the public app store, but still have those certain approved apps for your users to install for your company, that is also fully supported in Intune. You can roll it out, set up apps that they can install that way.
Yep, absolutely. And you can actually force managed browser as well, particularly for like iOS and Android and things like that. So if you have certain websites, say, maybe you push down like a device configuration or a device profile, again, join the VPN when you access this website, maybe like your intranet, and now your intranet would actually only be browsable in the managed browser, which then lets you not just say, hey, we're locked down on the device side and we're on the VPN, but because now you're in a Microsoft app, you might be able to kind of step into that next lens and do something like MAM on top of that as well, like require some type of device encryption or something else.
Yep. You meant to do that, didn't you? That was like the perfect lead-in into the next topic about talking about application management.
I was just waiting for one.
When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudIT. You were just setting me up. So we did talk about MAM a bunch way back in episode number 3. It has obviously changed, morphed, upgraded since then. But let's talk about this one a little bit again as well. And if you do want a whole episode on it, go back and listen to 3. And again, there are things that have changed since then, but that is out there. So this is that whole concept, and I really like it, of just managing the applications. And even more specifically, managing your corporate data in applications. So you aren't taking control of the whole phone. You're not going crazy where you can do a complete device wipe. You can lock, block the camera, all of that. It really is just what the title says, mobile application management. And in the Intune portal, this has changed the name a few times. But if you're in Intune, it's now just called mobile apps. And this one, again, it's really nice. Here, instead of going in and enrolling the whole device and controlling the whole device, you set up policies around protecting certain apps and your corporate data in those. So a good example of this is something like the Outlook app. Maybe you want users to only use the Outlook app to access your company data. You can then say, okay, if they're going to add the Outlook app to Office 365 to Exchange, we're going to require that they have a PIN, or if you have a newer iPhone, they can use Face ID. But we're going to require that they enter that code to access their corporate email with an Outlook. If they want to add their personal email to it, we don't care. We're not going to control it. They can do personal email and Outlook, but these are the policies when they're accessing our Office 365 environment from the Outlook app. And then it gives you that ability, again, to protect that data, to prevent that data from maybe being copied out of the Outlook app into notes on the iPhone. It can keep that data just in Outlook. And then if that employee leaves, if you have to wipe it for some reason, you just wipe that account and that corporate email from their device. You don't reset the whole device. You don't lock out the whole device. You don't completely delete Outlook from their phone. You just remove your corporate data in Outlook on their phone.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of MAM. And I think it just has so many applications, whether you're BYOD or corporate owned. Device registries really tend to be over the top, and it's a little bit easier to get into something that's lightweight. There's no enrollment process for a user. They just go and they use that app, and it picks up the conditional access policy, and it says, okay, you've got to do this, this, and this now, and I'm going to apply these settings to your application, and we go ahead and we just run from there. And you can certainly have your cake and eat it too, because there's ways to get in there and say, let's take the email example. Maybe you say, I don't want people accessing email through anything other than Outlook. I don't want them using like mail.app on iOS or whatever random email client on iOS, or they happen to pull out of the Google Play Store or something like that. So you can actually block those connections with conditional access from those devices and those types of devices. And then you go in and you say, now for the app, let's go ahead and manage it that. You tell your users, hey, just download Outlook and you'll be able to get your email, no problem. And you can do that kind of across the stack. It all works out really well.
Yeah. What I have tended to find as I've gone and talked to clients is more often than not, you can do everything you need to with the mobile application management and with conditional access without rolling out the full device management. And honestly, the mobile application management, in my experience, is a whole lot easier to deploy, to manage, to configure. I always try to go that route first if I can, and then go to mobile device management if we find that that full management of devices is actually necessary.
For sure. It is a way better place to be. You know, like you said, it's so much more lightweight. You can pivot way quicker because you don't have to go and unenroll devices in the middle. There's just none of that. It's just a simple policy and you're good and ready to go.
Yeah, there are some things you can run into though with this. I know we talked about this in one of the previous episodes. Because you're managing the applications, these applications have to have the functionality actually built into them to leverage the proper SDK, all of that. And based on how applications are written, sometimes conditional policies you apply, the app may not actually support certain things like pin length, I know is one you've run into before.
Yeah, well, some of that's SDK driven and who owns the application. So, you know, in Microsoft land, just to be kind of clear about it, they're pretty good about supporting their own stuff up front, but those are still built by separate application teams. So the team that develops Outlook on mobile, you know, there's an iOS team and there's an Android team, and that's different than the Office team that's developing, oh, you know, Excel and Word and PowerPoint on mobile. And again, those have other platforms and things. So they can be a little bit off sometimes in what they support. And sometimes there's ways to get around that. Like you can push custom configurations. So there's kind of JSON that you can push in there and make some of that happen. And it's not just Microsoft apps that you're limited to either. You know, there are third parties that certainly can adopt those SDKs. Or if you were developing even like maybe your own internal corporate apps, you can certainly go ahead and get those loaded up on users' devices and do MAM with those without the full registry thing as well.
Yep. And I have seen Microsoft apps. They're pretty well supported. There's a few third parties that are starting to trickle in there too. Just looking at the app protection policies that are available right now, Adobe Acrobat Reader. There's an Adobe Acrobat Reader for Intune that supports the mobile application management box on iOS. I don't think that one was on Android. Citrix ShareFile for Intune is out there. So some of these third parties are starting to adopt this whole mobile application management too and provide apps that support MAM with Intune.
Yep. It is a fairly mature thing these days.
Yeah. So conditional access, this was kind of the last one that I wanted to dive into too. And those conditions, there's kind of even a nifty one in here for SharePoint that if you go set up the SharePoint conditional access, there is an access control policy in here that you can go in and set up a use conditional access app control. And I think this one still only applies to SharePoint.
It does, yeah, today.
Where you essentially can block downloads from SharePoint. It requires that all of your files, everything in SharePoint just stays in SharePoint because it's a bunch of conditional access stuff baked right into SharePoint itself when you turn on this conditional access control.
Yeah, there's a couple things that are, well, you know, it's SharePoint, it breaks the mold. So that's a little bit of a weird one because you have to go turn some stuff on in SharePoint on the server side, and then you go and play with conditional access to, you know, create the actual SharePoint specific policy and let it run through there. So it's conditional access plus stuff in SharePoint that's looking for it and driving it all through. And there's really not too many that are like that. Most of them tend to be just kind of pure identity driven. Let's stop the authentication from occurring. That way we never have to hit authorization or anything else behind it.
Yeah. So this one, we could probably do a whole nother episode just on this one with the amount of stuff they've rolled out. But when it comes to conditional access, we'll kind of run through the settings you have. First, you have the users and groups. So what users are going to be included or excluded from this conditional access? Is it going to be all users? Are we going to do selected users and groups? And then that can be actual users and groups. It can be certain directory roles, or it can even be all guest users that you can apply this conditional access to. So first you specify, okay, who is this actually going to apply to? And then you can go in and pick the cloud apps. And again, for all of these, you have both an include or an exclude. So if you want to include certain apps or include all apps and then exclude certain ones, you have a few configuration options there. Where you can go in then and say, you know what, all the cloud apps, let's just block access to them, or go in and do selected apps. And this isn't even necessarily tied to just Office 365 apps. It can be tied to third-party apps that are connected to your environment or are registered. So if I go in and look at mine, I have things like Adobe Acrobat, Evernote is in there, Zapier is in there. So those third-party apps, you can actually set these conditional access policies to apply to some of those third-party apps that are registered, trusted with your environment, as well as all the basic Office 365, Contacts, Exchange, SharePoint, all of those different Office 365 services that you can select, okay, it's these users, it's these cloud apps. And then you go in and set those conditions. So those conditions can be stuff like sign-in risk, if it's high, medium, or low, based on device platform, Android, iOS, Windows, macOS, based on location, IP address range. Are they coming from inside your corporate network? Are they sitting at your office? Are they coming from home? And then the client app that they're using. Again, are they using a browser? Are they using certain mobile apps or desktop clients? And then the state of their device. Is it hybrid Azure AD joined? Going back to that previous episode, is this device marked as a compliant device that's not jailbroken, it's encrypted, those types of things. So those are kind of all those assignments to set up, okay, when is this policy going to apply? And then you can go in and specify those access controls. So they can access these using this app. Are we going to require multi-factor authentication? Do we require that this device is actually marked as compliant? Do we require that it's joined to hybrid AD? Are we going to require that they use client-approved apps? So going in and configuring, okay, what are we actually going to require in order to grant them access to these apps in these conditions using these apps on their devices? And those are kind of the main areas. Again, then you can go into that session controls, those goofy ones around SharePoint and app enforced restrictions. Those are going to be way too much to dive into over audio. But at a high level, that's what you can do with conditional access. And again, you start layering these on, applying them to different groups, setting them differently. So maybe you can use client apps if you're on premises, if you're in a non-trusted location from home, if you're logging in from some store somewhere, you only allow browser access, you don't allow any file downloads, that type of things, conditional access can be really, really powerful.
There's a ton going on there. And if anybody is interested in that side of it, really take a deep dive, even outside of Intune, on just the Azure identity stack and Azure Active Directory. Because we're talking pure authentication and authorization and authentication flows through Azure AD and how those rules fire off against them. So it might be a combination of authentication and authorization sometimes. Like you said, am I assigned a group that has this policy, and then does that policy maybe have a device restriction on top of it where, you know, I have to be on an MDR or a registered device to have things come through. So there's a whole bunch going on there.
Yep. And a word of caution, be careful with it. When you go in, they'll give you a big warning with an orange exclamation point. When you go into the cloud apps and say, hey, we're just going to apply this conditional access policy to all cloud apps, this impacts the Azure portal, which is where you configure conditional access. If you aren't careful, it is possible to actually lock yourself, when you do the configuration, to lock yourself out of adjusting the configuration, because you set up those conditions just right, and all of a sudden you find you're actually blocked from fixing it. Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides, or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact, running completely behind the scenes. You don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info. So be careful. Keep a user excluded, possibly. Yeah, make sure you don't lock yourself out of your Azure AD Office 365 environment.
Yeah, no, that's some good advice. Like, leave the break glass there just in case you actually need to go ahead and break some glass.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, I think that about wraps it up on, again, that high-level overview of Intune, kind of what's possible. There's some really nice stuff there, especially if you are in one of those environments where you need to lock down that data, you want to lock it, make it a little bit more secure being up in the cloud.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I think it's a kind of good advice all around.
Yeah. So I'm assuming, I think we're going to publish this one yet before Ignite. So if you are going to be at Ignite, we did get final confirmation scheduling. I know we announced it in the last episode. Check us out at Ignite. We'll have stickers and other fun stuff. Should we talk about it yet or should we wait?
We should wait.
Keep everybody in suspense. Okay. You're going to have to listen again next time. Eventually, we'll tell you what other fun stuff we have to give away. But yeah, hopefully we'll be able to meet some of you, see you at Ignite, come get stickers and other swag. And for now, we'll talk to you later.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks, Scott. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.